word will give you wisdom for tomorrow. Today, His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider His word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to our broadcast today. We're so glad you could join us, and we hope to be a blessing to you and hope that we can bring to you a message from the Word of God and something that will be encouraging to you. We're studying now in John chapter 13, 14, and 15. This series is entitled With Jesus in the Upper Room, and this series comes with a special offer, and I don't know if you've heard about it yet, but we want to get the word out. Since this series is in the Gospel of John, we are giving away little pamphlets of the Gospel of John. If you'd like to receive one from us, just write to us and we'll be glad to send one to you. Now, this comes with no strings attached. I'm not going to be sending you any spam in your email. I'm not going to be hitting you up for money. God blesses His broadcast and helps to support it. We're not going to be sending you letters every 2 weeks. I know there was a ministry last year that I made a small donation, and I'm still getting letters from them. You're not going to get that from me. Just simply write to us, and we'll send you a copy of the Gospel of John. It's that simple. Number of ways you can receive. I'm going to give you three ways real quick. First of all, you can go to the website, www.considerhisword.org. At the website, click on Contact Us, and just send us an email. Give us your address, and your name and address, and we'll send you a copy of the Gospel of John. Now, two things. We're limiting one to a family, and secondly, we'll do these as long as our supply lasts. And I'm not sure how long it will be, but we'll let you know. Now, secondly, you can write to me at our physical address. It's kind of long, so get something to write it down with. I'll give it to you. You can simply write us a letter, and I'll be happy to send you the Gospel of John. Again, postage free. We'll send this Gospel of John to you. Here's the address. Send it to Consider His Word, 30290 Josie Billy Highway. 30290 Josie Billy Highway. You need to write on the next line, PMB for Personal Bell Box 40. The city is Clewiston, C-L-E-W-I-S-T-O-N. Clewiston, Florida. The zip is 33440. Now, there's one other way you can request the Gospel of John, and that is simply sending me a direct email. You've got to send it to A. Payne, A-P-A-Y-N-E, at considerhisword.org. Again, A. Payne, A-P-A-Y-N-E, at considerhisword.org. I'm looking forward to hearing from you and getting the Gospel of John into your hand. What a great book. In these chapters of John 13, 14, 15, and 16, these are some of the last hours that Jesus spent with His disciples. And I think that they're important for us to study and go back and see what Jesus said. These are some of the last things Jesus said. Now, certainly before He ascended, He gave us a great commission. But in these chapters, Jesus encourages His disciples. He tries to prepare them for what's coming. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows that soon He will be Himself crucified. When He's praying in John chapter 17, and He's arrested in John 18, He knows what's coming. He knows the hearts of the disciples, and he knows of their confusion. He knows of their uncertainty. He certainly knows of their lack of faith. And in these chapters, Jesus encourages us. He gives us a number of promises. We're going to be looking at these as we go along. Now, last week, we kind of talked about John 13 and how Jesus was preparing the disciples for what was coming. This was, again, at the Passover. They were celebrating the Passover, going through each parts of the meal. There were several times that they would take up the cup and there have a short dialogue and celebrate with the cups. They would have the meal, the Passover lamb. And John picks up with the end of the Passover. Now, he doesn't spend a lot of time about the preparation of the room like Matthew, Mark, and Luke does. He doesn't spend a lot of time about the preparation of the meal and even a lot of who was there. Now, I think that not only were the disciples there, but I think there were others there as well. And then Jesus does something very, very unusual. See, John picks up with when the supper was over. The supper had come to an end. Let me read what the scripture says. I'm going to begin in verse 2. This is John 13 in verse 2. He said, "The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon, the son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he raises from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after he had poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded." Jesus, at this moment, took on the role of a servant. He was the perfect servant. In many ways, I believe this passage of Scripture is a picture of when Jesus took off his royal robes from heaven and stepped onto this earth as a baby. The Bible says that he took upon himself the form of a servant in Philippians 2. And he began in this moment to become the servant. Now, you realize that what Jesus was doing here in washing the disciples' feet was always given to the lowest servant in the house. The supper was over. They had already written. In fact, they probably had already had their feet washed when they came into the house. And so as Jesus gets up from supper, the Bible says he lay aside his garments. He took off his robe that later would be sold. He girded himself around his waist and he began to take on the form of a servant. He dressed like a servant. I suppose if someone would walk in at this moment and didn't know who Jesus was, perhaps they would think he was a servant of the house. Philippians 2 describes this for us. I quoted a little bit a moment ago, but I want to read more of it. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here Jesus took on the form of a servant, and then he performed the work of a servant. Usually this was done when someone first walked into the house. They would have their feet washed. Perhaps maybe coming into the banquet hall, there was no servant there to take care of this deed. And one by one, he went around the table and washed each of the disciples' feet. He took a basin and a towel. He would take their feet and wash the dust of Jerusalem off of their feet, wipe them down with a towel. I wonder each disciple what they thought of this. I know some probably thought, oh, this is great. We're getting our feet washed. I'm sure some wondered, what in the world is he doing now? There was one disciple in particular that when he got to him, when Jesus got to Simon Peter, Simon put up a protest. He said, you're not washing my feet. In fact, he presented it as a question. He said, do you wash my feet? And he challenged Jesus about this. Jesus answered him. It's in verse 7 of the scripture. He said, you do not understand what I'm doing just yet, but you will know soon. I want to read it. Beginning in verse 7, Jesus said to them, What I do thou knowest now not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Jesus said, I must wash your feet. This was an extreme reaction. Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have anything to do with me. By the way, Peter said, not my feet only, but wash all of me. I think here we see a picture of salvation, our need to be washed of sin, our need to be cleansed of our sin. Not only in salvation, but you know, we need a daily cleansing of sin. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin, to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that cleansing every day. Come and confess our sin before God and come clean every day. Now, Jesus went on to tell him in verse 12, he said, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? Know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, so I am. If I then your Lord and your Master have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye that do them. Jesus told them the purpose. He said, you know why I've done this? He said, you call me Master and Lord, yet here, I was your servant. In just what I did, I was your servant. And the whole point of this was to teach them to serve each other, to serve one another. Now, many have taken this passage of Scripture and turned the washing of the disciples' feet into an ordinance of the church. Now, I don't believe it's an ordinance of the church. I believe that baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances. These must be done. But I've got to admit, I don't have a problem with people who want to have a ceremony in their church where they wash each other's feet. You see, it shows their humility and their love for each other and their service to each other. It was a lesson of mutual service, not titles. He said, the master is not greater than the servant. It's not about positions. It's about serving one another. And Jesus gave them this example of a perfect servant. And we're to follow that example, to serve one another. This was one of the first lessons Jesus taught them, that they should serve one another. Not to expect to be served, but to be the servant. Jesus not only said it, but then he showed it. Our time is gone. Thanks for listening today. Join us again as we continue this series and consider his word.
Consider his word.